You know, when you get the total eclipse, the animals speak.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
In the famous words of the magician in Frosty the Snowman, busy, busy, busy. We are just running. I feel like I've got stuff the next 4 or 5 weekends. Every weekend, and there's not much time in between. Plus, we have eclipses and volleyball games and other things like that. But Scott, we didn't meet last week because your wife had a surgery. How is she?
She's good. She has a permanent Fonzie expression going with her thumb up in the air because she had her thumb operated on to take off this, clump of cells they called a tumor, but it's not cancerous or anything. So anyway, it was just annoying and didn't really fix anything because she's got arthritis in her thumbs that makes her thumbs hurt. And she was like, well, will this make it feel any better? And he's like, well, probably not because it's not operating on that. So anyway, it's not her dominant hand, but she has to wear
so
this.
So she's got her thumbs straight out like she's hitchhiking?
Pretty much. It's
That's so feel like a natural natural thing.
Yes. How have you
been as the caregiver and all that?
I've been all right. It's nice to have my kids around to help out too. I'm sure I could do better.
Can someone help your ma carry in the groceries and the firewood?
It's mostly dumb little things like opening pill bottles.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I can't get this one. Can you do this? And so anyway.
You know, sometimes it's just kind of a surrender. Being a dad is surrendering up everything. I just feel like, so when we started, like, you know, when our kids were little, they all had chore days and they each had, I don't know if you did this, but my wife couldn't do all the dishes. So we said, we had a bunch of kids, we had 8 kids. So, you know, everybody had a day to do the dishes. And sometimes when they were older, you know, the little ones were too little. And when the little ones got older, the old ones were gone. So it worked out pretty good. You know, I mean, at least 5 or 6 days out of the week, the dishes were done. And I would do like Sunday or maybe I would do the weekend. And I didn't mind. I mean, you know, it's like of all the duties that I could do, that's one of my, I wouldn't want to do laundry. I couldn't iron or do anything like that. I'm unskilled. I cannot fold a fitted sheet. But I don't mind doing dishes because on my dishwasher, I don't rinse them off. I just stick them in. And I wanted a dishwasher that would wash them. And my wife's like, yeah, but that one will have to do it again. I'm like, fine, I'll do it again. But that's the way I do it. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I always knew the schedule. So on, you know, Monday was they're eating their breakfast. Let's say, hey, Kyle, you got to do your dishes today. Okay, Dad. You know. But then, you know, like we're down to our last 4 who are living at home. The 2 oldest, Abe and Maggie, are really, they're working. I don't really expect them to do it anymore. So Cal and Jed are like Monday and Tuesday. And then Maggie, maybe Thursday. Abe, maybe Friday or Saturday if I ask them to. So I've just decided this week, I'm going to do the dishes from now on because they're just busy all the time. And so I'm going to do the dishes. But I said, I'm going to ask you to help every once in a while. So I already have, and I'll probably do it today. But it was just kind of like, Todd, don't fight it anymore. Don't be mad all the time because they're at volleyball practice and lunch dishes are still sitting there. So I have released my whatever.
That feels like a lot of adulting right there. Is just stop being mad about things.
Exactly.
It's not going to get any better.
Suck it up. You know, like my son, Ben, he was saying that 2 nights ago, maybe. I'm looking for the thing. I think I threw it away. 2 nights ago, he was saying, oh, man, He goes, I didn't sleep at all last night. He goes, you know, they have a brand new baby that's 2 weeks or 3 weeks old now. And they kind of have a routine where Ben stays up as late as he possibly can, like 11:30 or midnight. And then Rissa sleeps from like 10 to 12. And then he brings him, he eats, the baby eats, and then they both try to sleep. Well, apparently Hudson had an earache in the middle of the night, just screaming, you know, as soon as they fell asleep. And he goes, I only got like 3 hours of sleep. But I just had picked up my You to Dead daily calendar, and I had the page, and I had taken a picture of it. And it's a tweet from a dad who says, I'm starting to think there are no real winners in the I got less sleep than you contest my wife and I have every morning. And then the note is, if you have babies or little children, make it your goal to win that contest. Let her sleep. You'll get plenty of sleep when you retire or die. You know, and that's just what you said, Scott. You know, kind of like, stop complaining about it. Yes, you have to fill up the car when it's always on empty. Deal with it. You know, it's part of being the dad. Change of subjects. Scott, did you see the eclipse where you were?
I saw the effects of it. I did see, like, somebody had some glasses, so I looked at it for like a brief moment.
Right.
But we didn't have totality right here. My wife and kids all went with my mother-in-law, and they saw the totality thing. They were awed and impressed and oohed and awed. It was pretty cool where I was, though, because it got really dark, but it wasn't like a normal dark. It was like for just like a minute or so, it faded to that where it kind of looked like it. Maybe it was going to be a really bad rainstorm, you know, where it gets really dark, except it wasn't. There was no clouds in the sky, and it was really just, I don't know. Anyway, it was cool.
That was fun. Well, so we've just been running, getting ready for conventions and speaking engagements. I spoke in Wisconsin this past week and weekend, and trying to fit everything in. I told my wife, Ike, my scientific son, he really wanted to see it. And totality was about an hour and 15 minutes away. And I said, I just can't go. I mean, I just can't, because I knew it was going to be an all afternoon thing, you know, to get there and then to get back. And so my wife felt more guilt than I did. So she went, and they had a really good time. They saw amazing things. My son took a picture just with his camera, and you could see like the solar flares shooting out from the sun when it was total eclipse. I sat on Ben and Rissa's deck just, you know, for a minute, and then I'd go home and do some things and run back and go back and forth. And basically, even though the sky was clear, it got a little darkish.
Yeah.
But if you had known there was an eclipse that day, you probably would have never looked. Because even early on, like, I knew it had started, and I just picked up some glasses from a neighbor, and I stuck them on my face just to look up at the sun. I'm like, man, it's already in there. You know, it's already starting to come across. You would never know that. Even when there was hardly a sliver left, right, it was still pretty bright. You know, you'd look up at it, and it didn't burn my eyes out, by the way. And by the way, this is a thing. Scott, have you ever met a blind person who like lost their sight because they stared at an eclipse?
I can't say that I have.
You know, every time I'd hear it on the radio, make sure you wear protective eye covering. Don't look directly at the.
Yeah.
And I'm like, every kid in America stared at the sun. Every kid has stared at the, you know, and I've just never seen anybody or met a person or knew a person who said, yeah, I was blinded because I took a glimpse at the eclipse.
So, it just seems like one of those things where it's like, you know, don't swim in shark infested waters. It's just kind of a no-brainer, you know, like.
Right. But when you were a kid, you cannot tell me you didn't try to stare up at the sun.
I remember looking at it. I don't remember trying to stare at it. I mean, because the moment you look at it, you're
blind. Right.
But I think the problem with the solar eclipse is that it's easier to look at it because it's not as bright, but it can still burn your eyes that way. So
sound like one of them.
I know. I'm terrified of that whole thing. I'm like, don't go blind.
Yeah. That's what I told my kids. I said, you know, when you get the total eclipse, the animals speak.
That would be cool.
The chipmunk says, I don't have long, but I need to tell you something.
That would make me a lot more interested in it, honestly.
I also discovered something else, Scott. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, did you see the other amazing news that happened on that same day that was not an eclipse in the world of sports.
My brother, Kent, yes.
Did he tell you?
Did you see it? And I'm like, no, not that one, but I knew. So the game started like about 9:20, I think. You know, my alma mater, Purdue, and my brothers are all big Purdue fans. My brother Kent's probably listening right now. I wrote him like at 9:20 and said, well, oh, busy eclipse day. I'm hitting the hay. And he's like, you're kidding me. Because he wrote me on Easter Sunday and he said, oh, did you see what happened today? You know? And I said, Jesus rose from the tomb. You know? And he's like, Purdue won the first time in 44 years. So no, I didn't watch it.
Yeah, but Purdue lost the finals.
I know. My brother's and probably still in mourning.
What I was talking about was on Eclipse Day, the Reds played.
Oh, you were talking about another sporting
I game. Was. Sorry. That's
sorry
okay.
For hijacking.
Stole my thunder. No, it's still awesome.
Go ahead.
Ellie De La Cruz, who I have talked about on this show before, he's mm-hmm. the new phenomenal player who can like throw 90-some miles an hour across the infield and run really fast and hit balls really far. Mm. He hit two home runs, one left-handed and one right-handed. One wow. of them was out of the park, like over the fence. The other one was inside the park. He also had
wow,
like
he made it all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, and in 15 seconds, just under 15 seconds, home plate to wow. home plate. And it was amazing, dude. It was one of the coolest sporting things I've ever seen. And he had a couple
I'm
other
sorry,
things that
can't
basically
compare it to that
well, here's
Cincinnati
the thing.
Red Charlie Hustle.
Well, that's
know?
True. But and he also scored like four runs himself wow. and had stolen a base or two. And like basically, I'll combine all those things together. No one in Major League Baseball history has ever done what he
really?
Did during that game, which wow. is even more rare than a solar eclipse. So
sound like he eclipsed the eclipse.
It was awesome.
Well, that is amazing.
Before I forget, I know everybody else won't hear this until tomorrow, but please pray for my son. He's taking his driver's test today. And
so by the time they pray for this, he will have either passed or failed.
Yeah. So please pray. But God is outside of time, so he will appreciate your prayers.
There you go. Okay. Well, we'll try to remember to pray for him at the end here. I'll make a little note.
Yes. I have
Which
worked
son is this?
Very hard. Will. I have worked very hard for many years at training my children because my wife won't do it because it stresses her out too much. So I've been.
I always tell my kids, when you get in the car with them, just floor it.
Yeah, that's not what works. So anyway, but he's doing like real little.
It is super stressful.
As soon as we take off or as soon as we get off the show here, I'm like getting him in the car and we're going and.
Do some parallel parking.
I think I'm more stressed than he is.
I just, what I tell my daughters is, if you have trouble, just start crying. That will help. They'll feel sorry for you. Have you seen, and this is off subject, but have you seen when he takes his driver's test in whatever it's called, the horrible something, No Good Day?
I saw that movie once and it was funny, but I can't remember.
It's oldest. What's his name? Steve Carell.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I mean, the kid's driving. He's super cocky, you know. And, you know, the teacher, the driver instructor is this old lady who's drill sergeant. And his phone rings. And she goes, and he looks down at it. Yes. And he goes, I'm not going to answer it. And she goes, oh, that looks like it's maybe a girlfriend. He goes, yeah, but it's no big deal. She goes, I think it'd probably be okay, you know, it's not very big. And he goes, really? No. And she talks to him and he picks it up and she screams, what are you doing? You know, and then he freaks out and it's total disaster after that. But it's hilarious. It's hilarious. In more serious news though, Scott, I have a sore toe. I stepped on a nail. You know, I always tell my kids,
it's not about the nail.
It's not about, well, this one was about the nail. In fact, I was a little disappointed that when I told my kids, man, my toe really hurts, they didn't do the old dad joke. Well, have you tried to call a tow truck?
Wow.
You know, because I say it all the time. But, you know, I always tell my kids, okay, either knock the nail over, knock the nail out, or turn the board over that has the nail in it so you don't step on it. Well, I wasn't paying attention, and I just went, and it went right, not all the way through my big toe, but here, I'll tell you, it was sore on the top of my big toe. So I don't know if it went close to all the way through. You know, you don't measure it when you're, yeah. I wish I had. I wish I just sucked it up just a few minutes ago. Mark it on the nail where I is. Why I'm marking on the nail, you know.
You didn't take a video of sore. It?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I saw a thing yesterday. It was a story about a lady who had an alligator in her kitchen. And sure enough, there's a video. I'm like, I'm sorry, if there's an alligator in my kitchen, I'm not getting my phone out to take a video of it. I'm getting my gun, okay?
Now you could get arrested for shooting an alligator in your kitchen, I think.
Probably could, but I'd risk it.
If you, like my friend who lives in Florida says, if you're like attacked by an alligator and you shoot it, you can, you know, that's okay. But if you have to go inside somewhere and get your gun, then you're in trouble.
Wow.
Yeah.
Messed up.
Exactly.
So is your toe okay? Did you get a tetanus shot? Did you have surgery to amputate, whatever? No.
Nothing.
All right.
I'm just
a Band-Aid.
It's sore. It's still sore. It's like right through the, it was swollen, and but it never got like red or anything. It didn't turn black, but.
Was it a rusty nail?
No, it was an old nail, but it wasn't rusty.
Okay.
And if you're thinking about, if you're a listener right now and you're telling me I need to go get a tetanus shot, don't call me. Don't text me. I don't want to know that. I mean, I'm, you know, years ago, Scott, I don't even know if you were on, you probably weren't even on board at this time. I had a bat that went into my daughter's bedroom while she was sleeping, and she thought it touched her hair. Ooh. While she was sleeping. Well, I mentioned it. Ha ha ha. I'm driving somewhere. I don't know where I was, maybe in Texas. And I get a frantic phone call saying, I don't even know how I got my phone. I gave it out then. And he was like, Todd, this is so-and-so. You need to get your kid in and get the rabies shot right now. And I'm like, what? And he's like scaring me. I mean, if she gets it, she'll die. And I'm like, then I'm freaking out. You know, we're in some other state. I'm calling people in Indiana like, this guy says, and you know, they haven't had a death in Indiana in 40 years or something like that, from a bat, and or maybe longer. And so I finally just said, we're not gonna do it. But it was super stressful that this guy insisted that I go, and probably we should have all, he wanted all of us to get rabies shots, which are not very comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, they're terrible. And in fact, some people die from the rabies shots. So anyway, so don't call me about tetanus. I think I'm okay. I'm past the whatever, the lockjaw part. So anyway,
being a dad is just okay. Stressful. Let's just admit being a dad is stressful.
Being a dad is stressful. You know, and Scott, this is a great transition. You know, sometimes, and this is the serious part. Sometimes we fail as dads. I mean, I'm not just talking about, maybe I am. Maybe I'm talking about all types of failures. I'm talking about failures where, you know, where we say mean things to our wives, where we say mean things to our kids, where we fail to do something that we promised we would, where we maybe look at inappropriate things on the internet, or maybe, you know, we did something inappropriate with someone else. You know, I just heard that, and I'm going to be super, super careful. I just heard that a Christian dad, you know, is accused of something terrible. And, you know, the mark of a dad, I think, I mean, Scott, you can put in here, even though we don't have a lot of time because I have to go. You know, the mark of a dad maybe is not just when doing everything good. And it really, I think more highly, maybe that's not the right word. The mark of a good dad is how he handles it when he fails. You know, because there are dads listening who've had affairs. There are dads who listening have done stuff that they're not very proud of. You know, and even when it first came out that I was talking about, to me, I mean, I've dealt with lots of guys who have, you know, have had affairs and, you know, they've lied to my face. And I even got to the point where I can remember saying to one dad, he'd say, "I did not do that, Todd." I said, I looked him in the face and he was a friend of mine. I said, "You're lying to me." And he goes, "I am not, Todd. I promise." I said, "I don't believe you." You know, and, you know, because I've been the dummy too many times where I'm like, he said he didn't do it. He said, yeah, he had these thoughts, but he never acted on it. Or he said, yes, maybe he was emotionally attached, but they didn't do anything physical, you know. And then it's like an onion, you know, where they just little by little, they give you enough so that you'll back off. And then eventually it all falls out. You know, it doesn't surprise me the dads fail. I mean, I could do it. I mean, we're all just dopes, you know, and Satan's good and we fail. And, you know, Peter, the disciple of Jesus, you know, denied him 3 times. But somehow I think the mark of a dad is how he handles it when he fails. And by he, I'm not just talking about him, this other guy. I'm talking about you, Dad. You know, I'm not digging up stuff. I'm not trying to go, well, do you remember that thing you did when you were, you know, whatever, 8 years ago and nobody saw? I'll let God deal with you in those things. But, you know, if you're in the midst of something right now, maybe you're in the midst of a divorce. Maybe you're in the midst of something. I see a pattern, and I want to be so, so careful. I see a pattern in dads that they're angry. You know, maybe they feel falsely accused, and maybe rightly so. But, you know, sometimes even those false accusations, there's some truth in there. And, you know, if you're in the middle of trying to protect yourself from something, just suck it up and take your punches. You know, and I've talked to dads who've been caught and looking at stuff. And I'm like, just take your punches. Your wife's not going to trust you, you know, but take it. You know, that's repentance. That is the mark. I mean, I had mentioned lots of times that my sister's husband has left her. And, you know, she, like so many others, are so worried. Like, what if he comes back? You know, and how will I know if he's repentant? And I'm like, you will. You know, when a dad is repentant, you know it. You don't have to go, I don't know. You know, I mean, I've had, again, dads who've said, oh, I'm so sorry for how I acted. And then their wives begin to cry and they go, you said you forgave me. You know, why are you acting this way? You know, that's not repentance. A repentance is, and even with my own wife, I can remember, you know, I lied to her 35, 40 years ago. And even every once in a while, I can tell that feeling comes up. And I'll say to her, you know, I'm so sorry. I was such a jerk back then. And she'll say, oh, you don't need to ask forgiveness. And I said, I know, but I still am sorry. And, you know, and it was just, it's just nice that I acknowledge it. She likes when I acknowledge it. It doesn't come up very often. Years between, you know. But I think that's what a repentant heart does. It doesn't try to protect itself. And so, Dad, you know, I'm not prepping you for when you fail later, because you will fail your wife. You will fail your kids. But just deal with it. You know, just deal with it. There's nothing abnormal with being wrong. I don't know why I do the same thing. I don't know why we try so hard to pretend that we're perfect, because no one's perfect. I mean, everybody has to fail. You know, and I do pray that my failures will not be catastrophic. And I guard myself and I protect myself from that. You know, if you're a woman, you won't find me. You know, I won't be taking you in a car ride anywhere. I won't be hanging out with you. If I was a business guy, I mean, I wouldn't have lunches with females, you know, unless I had another person with me. Is that inconvenient? Yes. Is it misunderstood? Yes. Is it worth doing it? Infinitely, just because bad things happen. So Scott, I mean, I just hate it. Really, I hate it that, you know, a dad, you can have a great track record. You can be faithful. 90. And my dad used to joke, oh, yeah, you know, I guess I've been faithful to my wife 99.9% of the time. And his joke was, you know, that 0.9% invalidates everything else, you know. So I just want to get to the end, you know, to the, you know, the end of my race and avoid some of those things. So, again, if you're in the midst of something, Dad, just maybe I can just encourage you to take your punches and keep apologizing and throw yourself in front of the bus for your wife so she can run over you or your kids can run over you. And don't try to defend yourself, because as soon as you try to defend yourself, even if you're worth defending, it's always taken the wrong way. Any comments, Scott, in that?
Yeah. And if you're, you know, about to do something really stupid, for the love of all that's holy, look for the escape hatch, because there, right, there should be one. Find a friend. Call me. Call Todd.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Unless it's about tetanus. Don't call me about tetanus.
Yeah. Don't call about that. But yeah, that's all I got, man. Yeah, I mean, everything else is right. I'm so more impressed every day, it seems, with our need for mercy. All of us, husbands, wives, kids, grandparents, whatever. It's just, you know, nobody got through the Bible except Jesus without messing up somehow.
Right.
There's a couple of guys who got close.
Most of them were pretty severe.
Yeah, a couple of them got close, but most of them, you know, it's just a mess. So, you know.
Yeah, you had to get beheaded first before, you know, you had to be beheaded young, at a young age, to avoid some of those things. Yeah. So, Dad, you're not alone. You know, and again, if you need to talk, give me a call, 574-253-1663, and except about tetanus, don't talk. And hey, if you text me, it's always a good thing to text me first. Give me your name. I can't tell you how many guys don't even tell me who they are, and they just begin this conversation, and it just, it's hard to have a conversation, and I don't like starting with, so, who are you? You know, so just tell me who you are. Well, I got to go, Dad. And I know it always feels kind of abrupt when, you know, we're talking about this serious thing and then we go to, I'll see ya. But hey, that's the way life is. You know, that's what being a dad is. It's like this mixture of huge and little and mundane and huge and eclipses and nails through the toe and dealing with a wife who's angry at you or a child who doesn't want to talk to you anymore. But never give up. Don't grow weary in doing good. And you know, we're going to pray for Will as he gets ready to do his driver's test, and for Scott that he'd be a good patient father. I'm going to pray for you, Dad, as well. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the privilege of being a dad. I pray for Will. I pray that you would steady his nerves and that you would help him to drive well and not hit that curb at the parallel park. And I pray that even his instructor would be super gracious and kind and maybe a little blind and deaf and maybe not be as strict as he or she could be. And I pray for a day of rejoicing at the end of this, and that they would be able to celebrate a driver's license. And I ask protection upon him all the days of his life, not just in a car, but as he walks with you. I pray that for all our kids. I pray for every dad listening, including this dad and Scott. I pray that you would guard us from the evil one, from the adulteress, from the things that can ruin our lives. Give us the strength. If we've already done stupid things, which includes all of us, give us the strength to ask forgiveness, continue to ask forgiveness, never stop asking for forgiveness, and take our punches like dads do so that our children can learn to take their punches and that they can teach their children to do the same. But we need your help because we cannot do it on our own. We thank you again for this day, and give us enough encouragement for the day and maybe for the coming week until we meet again. when we thank you that you are our Father. We pray all this in your name. And all the dead said, amen.
Amen.
We'll see you, everybody. I don't know about you, but it's feeling very springy here. Go out and do something with your family. And I'll tell you, this is the hardest part of being the dead for me, is remembering what really, really matters. Sometimes I get so caught up in doing all of my projects that I let my kids kind of do their own thing without me. And it's easier to do that, but don't. Do it because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.